Is that right? It goes on there or it goes down the side? Which is which? Because one of them came off yesterday.
The phone.
What's the difference between the two phones?
One I'm holding goes to colour washing.
Yeah.
And the other one is just the recording.
And this one?
That goes to colour washing audio video.
Yeah. Where has Yankee gone today? Where's Yankee gone today?
Family Bris, Hendon.
Oh, very nice.
You're on.
Is it recording?
Yeah. Yes.
Should I start?
Hmm? You said you got extra start, so yeah. I'm sure you were
speaking with it. No, tell me when to start. It is recording. Good morning, Rabbi Isai. We're going to start with extra minutes this morning. We're going to welcome everybody, those people who are here, including Front Row Yecheskel, and also those people who are online. Always interesting to say something at Torah Way that hasn't actually been said here at Torah Way previously, and all these stories are fascinating. Mishol Matovah B'Shema Omro, I can quote Ronnie Joseph, who says that what I'm going to say now is not only a Masa Shehoyo, but it actually happened as well. It actually happened as well. Originally, I heard this story from Rabbi Malcolm Herman, and he heard it from the Bala Masa, who was Rabbi Aviezer Wolfson. I had seen Rabbi Wolfson on several different occasions, whether it was in Borough Park, whether it was in Yerushalayim, whether it was in Bournemouth. I saw him, and I asked him this particular story to relate it, which he did. And he kindly told me the details. So the story goes back to 1955. And Rabbi Wolfson was on a train in Scotland late at night. And along the train, there were many people sitting down, but there was also a local gentleman who had also imbibed Bechumra. He had taken quite a lot of alcohol. And in so doing, was going up to each and every member of the carriage and was asking them, "What's your name? What's your name?" And eventually he came up to Rabbi Wolfson and he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Wolfson." To which this Scotsman, this drunk Scotsman, said, "Are you related to Captain Wolfson of the Guards?" And with this, Rabbi Wolfson knew his father had been in the army and would have been captain, but could not in any way relate how this drunk Scotsman could relate to his father whatsoever. And he said, "Yes, that's my father." He said, "Do you know," I can't do a Scots accent, "do you know that your father saved my life with his black boxes?" His black boxes refers to the tefillin. And he said that every day Captain Wolfson would put on his black boxes, and this Scotsman next to him said, "Gentlemen, quiet please, Wolfson is putting on his boxes." And so it was day after day. Unfortunately, they were in the trenches and it was a terrible time because the enemy was coming and they were in the trenches. And he said, "That day, your dad stood up with his black boxes, his tefillin on, and the whole company was wiped out except for your father, me on one side, and the other guy on the other side. We were the only three to survive, and that was because of your father's black boxes. So, interestingly, Rabbi Wolfson thought to himself, he'd never heard this story before from his father. So he went home, and it was 3 years before his father's nifter, but his memory was all there, and he's told his father exactly what happened on the train. And he said, is it true? Master Shahoya, is it actually true what happened? He said, yes, it is true. So he said, as to which the father replied with a posuk, and the posuk is in Kisovo. The posuk is in Kisovo. Baruch Abba. The posuk is in Kisovo, and the posuk in Kisovo reads, V'ro'u kol amei ha'oretz, ki shem Hashem nikro olecho, v'yoru'u mimeko. And it says that all the peoples of the world will see, ki shem Hashem nikro olecho, that the name of Hashem is written on you, v'yoru mimeko, and they will be frightened, they will be in awe of you. And he said, that was why I stood up with my tefillin on that day. It says here in the Balaturim, if you take the initial letters, ki shem Hashem ekro, the shin, Hashem's name, the yud, and nikro, the nun, then you spell shin. And shin refers to the shin, which is on the tefillin of the tefillin shel rosh. Then in Menachos, it's Lamed Hey Amud Base. This refers, it says that when we refer to the tefillin, we refer to the tefillin of the Shel Rosh. Why? Because it says when people will see this, and then the Shekhinah will rest on them, and then the nations will be in awe. That's according to the Marashah, based on Barakas Vov Aleph. Also, the tefillin of Shel Rosh, they have two of the three letters of Hashem. It has the Shin, and it has the Dalet. Whereas, and also they're visible, as opposed to the tefillin of the arm, which just has the Shin on it. There's three more explanations which are given. Tosfos, Rabbeinu Bachai, and the Midrash Lechak Tov. The Tosfos says something slightly different. It says that the Gemara is referring because it says when all the peoples of the earth will see, which plainly means it is visible. That's Tosfos' explanation. Rabbeinu Bachai takes something slightly different. Works from the Atbash. On the Atbash, the Yud and the K and the Vav and the K. If you do that in Atbash, changing the letters around, you get a mem and a sadi, and a pei and a sadi, and the gematria is 300, which is the same gematria as shin.
Pei and sadi?
The mem, 40. Sadi is 90.
Yeah.
So it makes 300. Pressing on, and one more explanation, that the shin from Shekhinah shows that the shin stands for the Shekhinah, the divine name. So just carrying on, just one more word. Yes, what? One of you, right? One more word. The next word carries over, Husiracha Hashem Latova. Hashem will increase in your goodness. What does it mean in your goodness? Pre-vitnecho, pre-vehentecho, pre-admecho. It says the Balaturim, Dr. Balaturim, if I may refer, Loma Bizchus had tefillin Yosir Yomim. By having the tefillin, it increases your days and gives you longevity. So I had a kasha all on this. What was my kasha? Why did Captain Wolfson stand up when all the bullets were flying around all over the place?
I said you're going down the plane, but you need doctors.
What would happen? Excuse me, if something happens, I'm going to get down and be right under the table immediately. I asked Rabbi Schneeberg about this once. I said, how come he didn't hide under the table? He didn't. Why did he stand up? He said, tell me, you treated patients with pneumonia, yeah? And pneumonia, I'm a doctor, yeah? Pneumonia is nicht the whatever, neither. But you give antibiotics, and you know that, of course you can be confident. He was confident, as you're confident in giving antibiotics for pneumonia, he was confident with the Tefillin Shel Rosh that he was going to be, he would survive, which is what he did.
Sam Wilson.
Yeah.
Start the Torreway, Northwest London, Friday, Yud Gimel 7, 29th of May. Rabbi Yitzchok Lenis, Shlita, Magichir, Talmud Torah, Magzike, Hadas, Ashdod. The Power of the Individual. This week's Torah has been sponsored by OCK, Chartered Surveyors, Lahadol Torah Hadiro, with Nishmas, our esteemed founder, Yosef Dov, Ben Rav Shem Mechol Tzvi Itzkowitz, Zichro Nodiv Rochov.
I would first of all like to thank this amazing project and the sponsor here. There's nothing more important than beginning your day with Divrei Torah, Shoyma Megan, and I thank you for having me, and I would like to dedicate this shiur to the Husn Vakala Yosef Chaim and Fegi Herzog. They should be zoyfer in the schisam latzul chusam from the shiur itself. We are now in a very special period. We've just finished off Tashlimim Kol Shiva. It's a Me'ein Oilem Habo. It's a special time for Tashlimim Kol Shiva. During the Beis HaMikdash, they could bring their Korbunis, their Korban Chagiga. Therefore, it has a Kedisha from Chol HaMoed. It's a special time. There's a great Esoiris now. And we're moving into a Shabbos that has been coined by Tzaddikim, Shabbos Noch Shvius, has a special connotation. I heard an interesting explanation by the Yana Rebbe, Zechrono Levrucha. We know at the end of Masechtas Chagiga, the Masechta discusses Mavir al Klei Amigdash or Mitmei Tahara, they had a Toivel de Kailim, and there's a question whether or not the Shulchan has to be Toivel or not, whether it's Metaltel Muli Varekum. And the Gemara says, yes, we do pick it up on occasion. When is that? During Shabbos Chol HaMoed, they lift up the Shulchan, Rechi Baschem Lifnei Amukam, take a look at how important Klal Yisrael that they come on the Moyadim, the Kashrus Shvugulim, they come to Yerushalayim, that they can see the warm challahs from 6 days, they're already 6 days old, and in any case, the steam from the challahs is still evident, showing the chashivitz, it's a nes guli. Now this is something that happens in either Pesach or Sikis when there's a Shabbos Chol HaMoed. Shvius, now that we're koveal pia cheshm, Shvius can never come out in Shabbos. And even when it was, Bisman Beis HaMikdash, it was very rare that Shvius would fall on a Shabbos. Therefore, all of the Oile Regulim didn't have the opportunity to see this incredible Ness. So they said, let's stay over for Shabbos. We'll have an opportunity to see. They'll pick up the shulchan. They'll see the lechem apunim. Chom keyom el kuchay. Warm from the day that was, you know, as if it was just baked. A special ness, and it shows that the Hashem, the Eibishter, has a great warmth towards Am Yisrael. So we're also, we're bookended by two special periods. Tashlim Kol Shiva, Shabbos Noch Shvius. It's a groisus soiris. Just like the Pusik in Shir Shirim says, Im Tuiri, V'im Toiri Esahava, Ad Shetechbots. If a person has an Insoiris from a special period, what he should do is he should solidify it by doing a good deed, a Masatoiv. And what could be better than Limud Torah? So we'll take this opportunity that we're in, bookended by these two special periods, and we'll discuss something on the Parsha. I have an underlying theme here that is the power of the individual. We'll see how it works into the things that we're going to discuss in the course of the Shiur. We'll begin by discussing something that's in this week's Parsha. Parshas and Nesiim, something we're familiar with. We see it in Hanukkah. There are those that in Chodesh Nisan, every day they say one of the Nesiim. It's a Parsha that we're comfortable with. We know about the Parsha. And it's also a Parsha that many, many Meforshim ask a very, very simple question. Why is it that 12 Nesiim that are all bringing the same quantity of Korbunas, the same Ketoiris, Menuches, Silver Kailim, why does the Parsha go and repeat each time for each Nusi the same quantity of Korbunas? I saw an interesting answer to the question. It's in a Sefer from Rabbi Shloime Ganzfried, the rabbi that wrote Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. He has a Sefer on Parshas HaShavua, Sefer HaPiryon. But before we go into the question itself, a little bit of background on Rabbi Ganzfried that has to do with also our theme here. He was originally a wine merchant. He used to peddle his craft through the Shtetlach in Hungary, and he would go from city to city selling his wine. But as he was a Talmud Chucham and a Masmid, he would always use his spare time to write down Chadisha Torah. One of the things that disturbed him in his travels was the quality of the Sofristam, the Sofrim that were writing Mezizas and Tefillin and Sefer Torah. And he noticed a lax attitude, something that could have come from a lack in the knowledge of the Aluchas. And he sat down in his travels and began writing down Koivitz Aluchas in Sifra Stam, that later was called Keses HaSofer, which is a very, very Yesoidistika Sefer for Sofrim today that learn Sofris. And so much so, when he was in his travels, he brought a copy to the Chasam Sofer. And the Chasam Sofer saw the Sefer, and he was really, really impressed. And he gave a Haskuma for the Sefer. And he also said that, I would like all the Sofrim in my city to be tested on this Sefer, that they should know it forward and backward, because it's essential for writing Sefer Torah, Tefillin and Mezizas. And Tzaddikim used to say that a shoichet had to have a good hand, but a sofer had to be a yirah shamayim more, because there could be mistakes that you can't see. There's nothing that you can't look at a sofer when he's writing and know whether or not his kavunas are not right or so. So it was something that was always demanded of a sofer, to be a yirah shamayim barabim, and he wrote the sefer and it became the Yesoidistika Sefer. In any case, also, as I said, he had Svurim at all, Miksoyas HaTorah, in Kabbalah, and his very famous Tour de Force. The famous Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. In any case, Rabbi Ganzfried brings down that the Al-Sheikh asks the question, why the repetition? And Shlomo Ganzfried brings a very, very interesting answer to the question. He brings something that he wrote in Sefer Shmos. He brought down a Shiva from the Punim Miris, where he discussed why did Anshe Knesset HaGdoyle, when they wrote down the Nisach from Tefillah Shmoneh Esrei, why did they write Elokai Avrum, Elokai Yitzchok, Elokai Yaakov? Why didn't they just write Elokai Avrum Yitzchok Yaakov? It would have been shorter, and every word in Shmoneh Esrei is Osgemosnitz, it's measured. So he explains, and the Punimiris explains, that Yitzchak and Yaakov did not want to stand on the shoulders of Avraham Avinu. They wanted to be able to themselves attain the Kiddusha from Elokut Bo'olam, from the presence of God, and they did it their way. They came to the same conclusion that God is here, but everyone had his path in how he obtained the knowledge of the presence of God. Shlomo Gansfried uses this explanation also Lagabe the Nisiyim. He said that every Nusi v'Nusi, it's written that the Nisiyim, when they brought the presence for to the Beis HaMikdash, the Nisiyim said, let's let all the Neduvas, let's let Am Yisrael bring whatever has to be brought. If anything's missing, we'll cover the extra. And the Darko shall call you the beauty day. Everybody gave with his full heart. There was enough Daiva Hoysa, there was enough. They didn't need any extra. And the Nisiyim ended up without giving any kind of contribution. So they had Chalisha Sadas, and the Medrash, and also Rashi brings this, brings down that Nusi from Yesuchar, Nasil Ben Sana, he suggested that they should bring the korbanos from the Nisiyim. So therefore, since it was something that they themselves decided to do, each Nusi v'Nusi came to the same conclusion. Nobody said, this is what we're going to have to bring. Everybody bring like this. No. Everyone, it was his day. He decided this quantity of korbanos, ketores, shnuchos, they were going to bring gifts for the Beis HaMikdash, from the Akumas HaMishkan, and they all came to the same conclusion. They all reached the same idea of the quantity that they need, but the path was different. In Medrash Rabbah, Parshas Yud Gimel, which deals with the Nisiyim, which you would have thought that if it's all the same nisach, one after another, what could be written so much? But it happens to be the largest portion in Medrash Rabbah, because it goes into depth what is behind every one of the Nisiyim in there bringing their karbunas. How did they get there? What was their path? What was the connotation in it? What was the meaning that they put into it? So we see that it was most important that everyone should have their day. And therefore, every day from every Nusi is repeated the same content, even though it looks repetitive, but what's behind it is something very, very special. And this has a lot to do with the power of the individual. In other words, a person being able to use his powers, use his abilities to reach the mission, the calling that he has in Avodas Hashem. And they were all able to, through their own path to discover what korbanos they had to bring, they were all able to put into it their amount of pnimius that they felt was necessary. The Kli Yukar brings down that the 12 Nesim is doime, is very much aligned with the 12 mazulas. What does he explain? He says that just like, as we know in astronomy, every hour another mazel comes up. When it's his mazel, he's there by himself, the mazel. Nobody's bothering him. He's, we know many people take a look at when you were born and what mazel to know what kind of tchinis, what kind of midis you might have, because the mazel is mashpia. But it's that mazel, that's the dominant force in that hour that the mazel goes up. And we see that none of the mazulis interfere. That mazel has his hour. The same thing was with the Nesiim. Even though it's brought down that by Yom HaSheni, the second day, Nesan ben Sur was he was from Shevet Yisuchar. It's written Vayakrev two times. Rashi explains why two times, because he had a special brucha, because it was Shevet Yisuchar that suggested the bringing of the karbunis. In any case, being that he was the one that decided to go ahead with the project of bringing karbunis, 12 days of karbunis, he could have said, I should be the first. No, he recognized that the king, the Shevet of the kingdom, the Haini Yehuda, he's got a, you know, he knew his position, he should be first. And the fact that somebody knows where he is, he knows his position, just like the mezuzahs, that you don't interfere. It's your day. You do what you have to do, and the other mezuzahs are not involved. The same thing was by the Nesiim. Everyone, and this we see, but we saw by Yisuchar, that even though he had an opportunity to be the first one, but he understood his position, because that's one of the yesoides in the power of the individual to know your mission, to know your calling in Avodas Hashem, where you want to get to and how you want to get there. We see also that, and this is something that the Kli Yukar brings us also down, there's the joining of the Parsha in Birchus Koyanim to the Parsha from the Nesiim. They're one after another. The Kli Yukar says, what's the correlation? He says that Birchus Koyanim ends with Birchus Hashulam. And nothing could be more indicative of the behavior of the Nesiim than the Midas Hashulam. Everybody knew, it's my day, I don't interfere with another Shevet. It's my day to reach my conclusions, to get to my mission. And that is a p'china from Shulam. If there's Shulam Bo'olam, there's Shulam Ben Udam L'Chavayroi, and everybody knows what is expected of him, and he's able to live in harmony with his surroundings. It's brought down that Rebbe Reb Zusha, on his deathbed, his Talmidim found him crying almost uncontrollably. And they understood that you stand before Yom HaDin, you're certainly making a cheshbon and nefesh. And his Talmidim said to him, Rebbe, no one expected that you should be like Avraham Avinu. No one expected that you should be like Moshe Rabbeinu. You did what you were supposed to do in this world. So Reb Zusha answered, that's not my problem. My problem is, have I been Zusha? In other words, what is with his mission? Did he complete it? Did he do it properly? Did his calling in his Avodas Hashem, was it the way it should have been? So we see here also, once again, example of power of the individual, person knowing his calling, and not looking to blame anybody, not looking to find fault in some external power. No, I have myself. I've got to look into my inside and my insights and to see whether or not I'm doing what I should be doing. The Chofetz Chaim tells a story about a baker that one day came into the Chofetz Chaim and he began crying. He said, Rebbe, I stand by a hot oven from in the morning till by night. I come home completely osgamata, completely tired and exhausted from a day's work. Where is my avoidance Hashem? How am I going to answer for what I should be doing as far as Kedisha v'Tahara. So the Chofetz Chaim said to him, listen, I could never do your job, but you have a special calling. You bake bread the whole week so people should have food. You bake challahs Friday so people should be able to make a Shabbos. I can't do that. That was your calling, and you do it properly. Hashem will only don you, who will only bring judgment upon you by whether or not you fulfill what you should be doing. I can't do your job. You're not expected to do my job. What you're doing is fulfilling what Hashem wants from you. And that is the way that you will find your calling and your mission in your life. That is your avodas Hashem. The Baal Shem Tov brings down a story about a king that was a music lover. And he would always, on occasion, specific occasions, he would call in a whole orchestra of musicians to play for him. And it was so wonderful for him. He loved to hear the music and every instrument, how it would add to the flavor of the whole music that the orchestra was playing. And he saw that one day a deaf man walked into the king's palace and starts walking around, sees people with cymbals and all kinds of instruments, and they're moving their hands, and he doesn't understand what's going on here. And he has no idea what the whole purpose of this is. It looks like some kind of act. So the king knew, all of a sudden, he had a stronger understanding what the music meant to those people that are incapable of understanding it or even hearing it. It's worthless. It just looks like a lot of chaos. But for the king, it was something that was sweetness to his ear. And he was able to attain that if any one of the instruments was faulty, something was wrong. You're off key. That's not the piece you should be playing. In other words, he was able to attain that every one of the instruments made up a whole. If anybody didn't do their job properly, then it was an effect on the entire orchestra together. And that, the Baal Shem Tov says, is koyach, is the power of the individual. That his importance is in understanding the whole picture as a whole, as his part and what he plays in it, doing his mission, doing his calling. If we were, as we just mentioned, that the Shabbos is Shabbos no Shvius, I'd like to refer to a few interesting things that Oile Bekanea Echo, that has to do also with what we're discussing, the power of the individual, things that were brought up of Gabe Shvius. There's a well-known Mugen Avrum that he says it's a minig to mekashet the Bute Midrushim with Ilunis Srach. And the Chasam Sofer brings down what is the meaning, why, what's the specialty of decorating the Beis HaMedrash with Ilunis Srach. Ilunis Srach are trees that don't have any pyrus. And we want to show that B'Shas Kabulas of Torah, when an Eibusher gives Torah for Klal Yisrael, even the person that has no pyrus, even the simple person, he has his part in it. And therefore, to recognize the special connection that every Jew has, every Yid has to get to for Kabbalah Satorah, we put up these trees to remind us that the Torah is all-encompassing and it's for every Yid in every Yid. He also brings down another minig, mach lechula, milk dishes. Milk is a very benign mashke. White, not such as, you know, has a taste, but not a strong taste. But if we examine milk a little bit more in depth, it's the source of butter. It's a source of cheese. It's a source of other mashko, other drinks that can be involved with milk. So we see that the milk in itself is a klulistic. It has one kind of connotation, but inside of it is many, many facets. And that is the specialty of the Torah. Even though it's all encompassing, it has within it a piece for every Jew, every Yid has a part in it. And that's what the machle chulav, that's what milk products connotate on Shvius, Shabbos Noch Shvius. We should remember that these are some of the important things about the Torah, that everyone has the power of the individual, everyone has their mission, everyone has to navigate. We say that life is a continuation of speed bumps. It doesn't go glatik for everybody, it doesn't go straight without any problems, you know. And the ability to navigate all these speed bumps, all these experiences that a person has in life, has to do with the power of the individual. It has to do how, what is he made up of? Is he able to work his way through these difficult times and come out for a better person? We live in a period that is very, very trying. There's a lot of nisyonis today. I would like to make a special request to all of us that are parents, that are teachers, that are authorities, to understand that we're in a period where we have to see to it that the power of the individual is built in every one of our children, our students, those that are beneath us. How do we do it? First of all, extend a hand. Let your child, let your student, let the person that you work with, let them know that you are there for them. Let them know that you are an anchor. Let them know that you offer unconditional love, that they know that the door is always open. When they when they're building themselves, they're trying to make that power of the individual something that is complete by them, to realize their mission. They need that help. They need that guidance. And those of us that can give it to them, we will have a groysa chelik, a big part in developing the door, our generation, because the nisyonos are very, very difficult. They need our help. And we hear so much about people, the parents that are having problems, but you've got to find a way to get to their hearts. You've got to find a way to let them know that you're always there for them. And in that way, they become self-sufficient. When somebody teaches a child to swim, first thing he does is he puts his hand under their belly, that they should know, I'm here for you. You don't learn now how to swim, I'm holding you up. But eventually, he can take his hand away and the child begins swimming. The same thing is the developing yourself for life's ventures. We have to be a support. When we give them that first push, when we give them that initial anchoring, they're going to be able to find their way, to find their calling, and to eventually build themselves up to people that have realized what is expected of them. It's certain that in this period, when there are so many trials for Am Yisrael, when people do what is expected of them, they reach out, they help other people, they let them know that their power as an individual can be realized by giving them the support, that's certainly going to be something that is going to be makarov, be as a goyil, and we pray that we should be witness to the coming of Mashiach as quickly as possible, because the trials are very difficult. And the more that we do to enhance the generation, the quicker it is we'll be able to realize the coming of Mashiach. Thank you for your time.
Shkaya. Okay, here now.
Good question, but we can, you know, like this.
Wir hätten mal Kusche vertauschen. Wie jetzt kommt Lennis, das haben wir gesehen. Thoughts on the Sedra, which have... Which are applicable to Mechas Kehanim, and he spoke about the Messiah and its association with Manasseh. There are a couple of other very important chapters in this week. One of them is referring to Parsha of Nuzia, the other one the Parsha of Soite. Quite a baffling section and chapter of this week's Seder. Let's just make a Heura on Parsha's Soite. Because the Torah highlights that this lady, or in certain instances, woman, was suspected of an adulterous affair with another man, and the only way that it can be proven is by Mechikas Hashem. What she has done, essentially, in order to promote the Halucha of Soita, is have a Mas Kinui and a Mas Estira. Not to get into too much technicality, but Kinui essentially means that the husband has forewarned her, some say with Eidem, without Eidem, that she should not seclude herself with a particular individual, and subsequently with Eidem or without, she went into a place of Stire and secluded herself. The question is, what happened in that room? Is she pure? But since the suspicions have been ignited, the Rebbein Shlomo allows his name to be erased from a piece of parchment specifically written for this purpose, and as a result there will be a clarification of what has actually occurred in the past. But the fascinating thing is that if she does not chas v'shulem fail the test, which means that she lives through it, then the Torah says here, if she's tehoruhi, v'niksu v'nizru zura, she is pure, she is clean, and she will have children. To which Rashi quotes the Gemara, yeah, mimaima orem v'loy oid, elo v'nizru zura, im hoisu yuledes betza, if this woman experienced difficulty in childbirth, then Tailet Bereivach, she will find that having children will come far easier to her. If she had ugly children, she would have now beautiful children. And of course, the Gemara speaks about having, she had daughters, now she will be zeuchet to have sons. And the Heilige Imre Emes asks the question, you know, on the face of it, it's quite a strange phenomenon. Why is she zeuchet to have this particular blessing? After all, the woman has put herself in, how do you say, mitigating circumstances which would indicate that she has behaved in a promiscuous fashion, and therefore, why would she merit, actually this ploy was used by Chana, was threatened to be used by the great Chana, and also by Ruchel Imaini, but let's shelve that for a moment. The question is, why would she be meriting this blessing? Lechoire, she is a woman who is brought upon herself ill repute. She's a woman who has subjected herself to suspicions from her husband. Why would she be zeuchet to these blessings? Sucht der Heilige immer Emes, ein mordiges Wort. It's true. Shiitake had the master kinui, Shiitake had the master stire. And it's very possible and even likely that there was something more than a familiarity going on between her and this man. But the reality is that when it came to the crux, or to the crunch, as they say, then she was able to say, no, we're stopping at this point. We're not going any further. That ability for a person in the height of passion to be able to say, yeah, I fell, but that's it, we stop here. That is has a certain parallel with Yosef HaTzadik, who, with a pasha of Potiphar's wife, he was able to say, Vayemue. I'm stopping now at this point, and I'm running, fleeing from the situation. For that koyach, for a woman to be able to stand and have the resolve not to take a passionate moment and let it sort of take its own path, but to take a stand, for this the Rebbein Shlomo rewards her that v'nixu v'nizru zura, that m'hoisi yoledes b'tzar, taylet b'raivach, m'hoisi yoledes shchoy m'holedes levuna. The vort who I heard this from added the following anecdote, which was actually, it's not directly associated with the story of a soita, but with the moment of seizing the moment, as they say. And there was a Rebbe in a Chayde, and this Rebbe was known to be a loyal and very conscientious Rebbe. He taught the children for maybe 12 or 13 years in the same school for year after year, and was known for his Yiras Shamayim. And on one occasion, the menahel of the school passed by the window of the classroom and sees, to his chagrin, that the man who is leading the class, namely this Rebbe, has taken out his mobile phone in the middle of the class and speaking to somebody on the phone. And then he stops and he pauses. He watches how the Rebbe speaks to someone and then just says something like, hold on a moment, tells the children, I'll be back in a couple of minutes, and that they should carry on revising what they've learned, leaves the classroom, leaves 35 or 40 children in the class, goes to the corridor, speaks to somebody, after a couple of minutes puts away his telephone, walks back into the classroom, and resumes his lesson. Now, he was fascinated by all this, the manal, especially knowing this Rebbe for so many years, and eventually, by break time, or lunchtime, called him into the staff room and he says to me, I know you long enough. What actually went on here? You'd left a class of 40 children to take a telephone call in the middle? So he said, the menahel knows me many years? Yes. The menahel knows that it's not something which I would ever practice usually? Correct. Menal also knows I'm not a comfortable man. I'm a man who struggles for panusa. This is my only job. Yeah. You also know that I've got a son who's engaged to be married in a few months. So I went and I took a gemach, a gemilas chesed from a kasse, and I asked that the gemach should find for me $20,000 in order to help me through this chasen. And I got the $20,000 and I got it in cash. I took that money, I put it into an envelope. I don't have a safe at home because I can't afford a safe. So I put it into an old recce which was hanging in my room, and I put it into the pocket there. There it was there for a few days, secure, and till I will find how to deal with it and to use it when I need. Last night my wife mentioned to me that it's before Pesach, and therefore, as a result, I'm clearing out all the old things, old garments and clothes from the house. And now, during the course of the lesson this morning, it dawned on me that maybe she actually cleared out this old record of mine which contains the money. And she phoned me, because I had phoned her earlier on, and I saw her name come up on the screen. So I took the call. And on the call, she told me she was responding to me, so I went out to speak to her in the corridor. When she spoke to me in the corridor, she said to me, "Yes, you phoned me. Yeah, I want to know what's with the Rekli. Which, did you throw that one out?" And she said, "Yes, I did." So he paused, and then he said, "Did the dustman come this morning early?" And she said, "Yes, the garbage man came as usual at 6:30, and he had taken everything away." He said nothing more to her. He put down the telephone, and he went back into the classroom, and he carried on his shiur. So the Manal asked the Rebbe, "Yelamdani Rabbeinu, how were you possibly able to conduct a class? How were you possibly able to conduct a class after you just learned of this event? You're not a wealthy man. You just lost $20,000. He said, "So what's pshat? How could you go in?" So he says, "It's a good question, but I'm a Talmud of Rab Gottel Eisner. Rab Gottel Eisner was a known mashkiach in Yeshivas Chedesh Harim. And for years, he implanted in us that we come down to this world because there'll be at one stage of our life, or maybe two stages, or maybe whenever it'll be, where we are subject to a test. Now, I knew very well there's nothing more I could have done. I made this shtadlus. I got a gemilz chesed for my son's chasana. I got $20,000. I put it in what I thought was a safe place. Clearly, it was orchestrated from above, that rekel was going to be removed by my wife, and then taken away the next morning before I had the chance to grips with this. There's nothing more I can do about this. So clearly it's from a divine intervention from above that I'm supposed to lose this money. So I accepted it in my heart, and I went back into the classroom, and I continued my shiur. Coming back to our subject matter we spoke here, sometimes one is presented with certain tests, and that is the time when the Rebbein Shloim is looking from above. Are you going to withstand them? Are you going to pass the passions of the moment? Or are you not? Chaps.
Shkoyah! Shkoyah! Shkoyah!